Now, you guys were just here a few months ago, I guess, weren't you? You played at the Amplifier Bar, right?
We played at the Amplifier Bar. That is the scene of the crime. That is where Gordy, our drummer, broke his arm.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you about that. How's he doing at the moment?
He's better. It's okay. The good people of Perth have nothing to worry about. We don't blame you guys. He put up on video, on Instagram yesterday his first, like, paradiddle. Since his arm, yes, it's like he can hold his drumstick. Doesn't look like he can hold it very tight. It looks like you'd be able to quite easily pull the drumstick out of his hand. But he's doing like he's playing, so that's something.
Oh, okay. Now, that because I guess you guys were sort of looking to start the work on the new album. So did that impact on that too a lot? Or?
Absolutely, it did. It completely did. As a result, we finished writing. We'd had heaps of demoing sessions over the last few years. And we're absolutely ready to go. And that kind of put a little bit of a hold on things. But we kind of think of it as a Gordy's Bones way of telling us to write better songs.
Obviously, yes. How are the new songs shaping up? I mean, sort of, are they coming out pretty well? Or?
Yeah, they're good. I've got to be honest with you, it's been a while since I've listened to them because since Gordy broke his arm. Haven't needed to, but from what I can remember, yes, there's fucking really fast good ones and slower ones and lots of bad jokes and things like that, which is all the stuff that there should be.
Now obviously you're coming to do Soundwave next year, so I guess can we expect maybe one or two new songs at the festival?
I don't know. I got to tell you, Gordy's not going to be playing with us unless he has like a much quicker recovery than planned.
All right.
With Kai playing drums, we don't want to teach him the new songs because then he'll steal them, he'll take them to his other band, which is what he does. He's a well-known song thief. All of our local resident failure, his band, all of their good songs they've stolen. We can't let him do that.
Yeah. Have you guys done Soundwave before? I can't actually recall.
No, we have not. No, okay. I've been to a lot of them.
Yeah.
But I have, in fact, almost all of them, I'd say I've been to, but I have not played it before. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun being there and actually being like having a reason to be there, getting to play guitar on stage and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I guess I mixed up, because you guys have done the Big Day Out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. So I must have got mixed up. So it's surprising that because you've been around for such a long time and you're pretty much an institution in the Australian music industry, that I'm surprised that you guys have never done Soundwave up until now, actually.
It's true. It's kind of like we've always sort of been there and around it and stuff, but I guess that just the world's never collided in the right way. This is the year. This is the gig. It's good, and it's like we've got a bunch of our silly friends on it and stuff, so it's going to be rad.
Awesome, yeah. Well, what can we expect? What can the fans expect? I mean, because traditionally it's known as a punk and metal festival, so you guys are going to be sort of pulling everything out, the best of, so to speak? Or
yeah, I'm definitely going to be trying to get a much tougher guitar sound than I've normally got to make up for the fact that we're not very metal, so that's good. I'll do my best to make that sound good. And I guess the thing is, like, because we're going to be there with a bunch of mates, like the NoFX guys and the Northlane guys as well. It's going to be fun, and Diddler the Circus dudes as well. So we'll just be hanging out with a bunch of mates, and at some point we will also play for about 45 minutes to an hour, and that'll be great as well.
The
main thing is we get to go and watch a bunch of fucking cool bands, go and fucking watch Refused, confuse everyone again after they broke up in the 90s, that sort of thing. That's going to be good.
I was just going to ask you, I mean, you mentioned Refused and a few other bands. Was there anyone in particular that you really are looking forward to, like any favourite sort of bands playing there at all, or that you've never
seen? I honestly always kind of just get excited to see bands that I haven't seen before. So that's always good. I sort of discover bands at big festivals. That's the best thing about festivals. You just walk around
and end up
finding all the things, which is kind of the idea or the best way to do it. So, obviously the big bands, and I'll enjoy watching Deftones. Even more than that, I'm going to enjoy watching our bass player, Tom, watch Deftones because I know he fucking loves them.
And I
used to always go to he's from Adelaide, and I used to go to the Adelaide Soundwave purely so I could just watch him fucking losing his head to Lamb of God or Trivium or anything. And so Deftones is going to be another one of those. So that would be pretty rad. I reckon, yeah, there's apart from like the bands that I've seen a few of these bands a fair bit. I haven't seen Public Enemy for a few years. That's going to be pretty freaking fun.
All right.
And I've never seen Soulfly before, but I used to play Max Cavalera model guitar, so that's going to be fun. And also, like, Soulfly has got Max Cavalera, obviously, but also his son is in the band. I didn't know that, so
yes,
that's going to be
right.
fun to watch. It's going to be fun to watch him, like, you know, like, especially backstage, getting upset at his, you know, son for, you know, for probably getting drunk with the locals or something, where he, you know, having to pull out the dad card will be fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, I actually hear that he's actually a fantastic drummer as well. So I was sort of Igor Cavalera from, you know, back in the day in the Sepultura day. So
wouldn't that be embarrassing? Wouldn't that be embarrassing if you know you played guitar better than your uncle? yeah, it'd be funny. Like, I'm just trying to remember. I know that Soulfly do some, they do some Sepultura songs. So hopefully they'll pull some of them out as well. It'll be fucking rad. That's the thing, like, we're all pretty much, like, we play in a punk band, but we fucking love metal. And that's why I've been loving Soundwave lineups the last few years, you know, getting to see all these freaking amazing bands and finding it, discovering new bands. So, that's what I like about it.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's just, as you said before, it's one of those great things at a festival where you get to check out a lot of bands you'd either never seen before, you never even would even consider checking out. So
yeah, exactly. That's the best thing about it. It's like, because people can't, you know, afford to go and see all of those individual bands, but you just go and fucking see them all at once and do it whilst drinking mid-strength beer in the sun.
what is your experience has been like with festivals? I mean, do you prefer festivals over, say, club shows, or do you sort of prefer the other way around, or...?
I always like the idea of being able to play, have a sound check and make sure everything's nice and, you know, sort of play inside so you can sort of control the sound. But that feeling of when you get out on stage and see all those people, most of which are just waiting for bullets for my Valentine, but they're all there, you know, is pretty rad. It's pretty fun. And that whole sort of vibe of, you know, all the other bands on the lineup, if you make friends with them, they come and watch you, which is rad. And that's something cool about Soundwave. It happens a bit at the Big Day Out, but Soundwave much more so, especially with the punk bands. You watch someone play like Pennywise or whatever, and half the lineup aside of stage watching with them, and it's like it's a very nice community atmosphere. So that's something you can't really get at gigs, because you've just got the support band who aren't watching you; they're backstage stealing your rider.
Yeah,
so, which
that's
is fine,
right.
But this won't happen too much at Soundwave.
Yeah, exactly. I did want to sort of check in with you with a few other things, because obviously, you know, most of us have obviously heard of Friends in Room and all of that kind of stuff, but I'd like to see sort of how you guys sort of started and sort of what are your biggest influences. Mm-hmm. How did you get into music in the first place?
Well, I joined Friends of Rome in 1996, so the band had been going for about 4 years, which is ridiculous thinking that it's 2015 now.
It's almost 20 years. That's unbelievable. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So it's like, I guess I was at school and I just started listening to punk rock in like 1994 and 1995. I actually bought some Friends of Rome CDs off my friend Mary Ellen, who worked in the local video shop. And people reading this will have to look up the word video shop, because I probably don't know what they are. That's right. Back in the olden days. So I got into, like, before that I was into, because it was the early 90s, I was into like Alice in Chains and Nirvana and Pearl Jam and all that sort of stuff. So then I got into, started getting really into punk rock, which is quite lucky, because then the guitarist left and they had an opening and I finished school and then started uni, but then auditioned for Friends of Rome and got in. And so I just got to go and play with Friends of Rome, which is kind of weird. Because, I was much, like, the Friends of Rome are much more into punk rock and much more better at it historically. Like, they've got much more knowledge about it than I did when I joined the band. I was just this weirdo from Southern Sydney who's kind of into grunge as well as punk rock. It's kind of funny. But, so I get to join and then hang out and meet all these bands that, you know, it's like, it's sort of within a year we were touring around Australia and the world. And it was rad. It really did.
Awesome. And almost 20 years later and you're still at it. I mean, and then,
I know.
And also on top of that, I mean, your lineup's been pretty consistent as well, which is a pretty rare thing these days, because a lot of bands sort of like have, you know, guys come in and go and stuff like that. You guys have been reasonably consistent with as far as having the same lineup. I mean, what do you sort of play that to?
Well, because we found the right lineup. That was the thing. After, you know, a couple of shuffles around there in the 90s, we finally got the bunch of people who we actually like hanging out with. It's not sort of, it's not that important. Like, I mean, it's lucky that we can all play our instruments.
Yeah.
And that sort of stuff and be ferociously good looking. But it's very lucky that we're all mates. And that's really important because sometimes, you know, you see bands who have like opted for, you know, people for different reasons and they just don't get along. And it's, you know, you got to spend a lot of your life with these people. So they should be people that you like. And the other thing is we also, because we don't spend every week with each other, every time we go on tour, it's just like, oh, wow, I get to hang out with, you know, three or five, depending on the size of the crew, or six of my good friends for a few weeks or a few days. And it's really good.
So obviously chemistry is that's a pretty obvious statement, I guess. The chemistry is a very important thing, you know, for a band to sort of stay together and keep on going.
Yep. Absolutely. And chemicals, chemistry and chemicals.
Chemicals as well. Yeah, that helps. Yeah. So who were you, your biggest influence and what made you get into the guitar specifically?
Well, it would have been those funny grunge and rock and roll bands, all the regular ones from the 90s, trying to play like Slash from Guns N' Roses.
All right.
But also trying to play, you know, like Kurt Cobain. So doing all that sort of stuff. And I very much liked Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains, that sort of guitar style I was very much into. And I had, you know, long hair and all that sort of thing.
Then
I realized you could actually play really fast. It sounded really awesome playing fast. So I enjoyed that as well. That's when I get into punk rock sort of stuff. So people that, I mean, I really liked listening to the first couple of Propaganda albums when they were a much more straight ahead punk rock band. And that was just listening to the way that they could play chords that moved really nicely and stuff, did little funny little inversions. And then they've become this amazing thrash band now, which is rad to listen to as well. But all that sort of stuff. I like listening to stuff that makes me go, oh, I can do that now. That's interesting. That's tricky. I'm actually playing some shows with Briggs, this hip-hop artist from Shepparton. He's putting together a live band for the Woodford Festival and the Meredith Festival. And so I've been, like, learning to play hip-hop guitar, so replaying samples and all this sort of stuff. So it's good. I'm, like, getting excited by trying to learn new tricks on my guitar again and like, loop pedals and weird things like that. So it's quite fun.
Okay, awesome.
Just keeping it interesting.
Yeah, I mean, because I guess there's a bit of an upcry as far as the lineup is concerned about Soundwave, you know, with Public Enemy and Prodigy in particular. Because, you know, Soundwave being known as a punk and metal festival and then to have these sort of hip-hop, techno kind of bands in there, I mean, but that's, I guess this diversity is sort of a cool thing to have as well, I suppose.
Yeah, and they're not, and they haven't, like, chosen, you know, like, say, Diplo or, like, really sort of recent electronic artists or, you know, had Drake or Soulja Boy or, something like that.
Yeah,
They've chosen the kings of hip-hop, Public Enemy,
exactly,
who are just freaking amazing and also have always had guitar and drums and live band elements to their sound.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I mean, you won't find too many people more punk rock than Chuck D. And Flavor Flav, for fuck's sake. Last time I saw them, Flavor Flav's on the fucking drums. They're playing AC/DC songs. Like, when they tour Australia, Public Enemy fucking turn it on for Australia.
All right.
It's rad. And Prodigy, one of those. Prodigy are like, it's like watching the Sex Pistols. Like, because they're a fucking, they're a complete relic. They're, like, old as fuck.
Yeah.
But they're just fucking, it's just hilarious. They just put on this massive show. You know, there's going to be, like, I'm sure there'll be lots of pyrotechnics in Soundwave, but as if the Prodigy aren't going to pull out some full-on pyrotechnics.
Yeah.
I'm sure most people who are like my age or a little bit younger would have, you know, fucking gone crazy moshing to Prodigy back in the day. I definitely saw them at a few big day outs and stuff. So I'm sure the more serious metalheads won't even notice that there's either not a guitar on stage or no drums or whatever.
Well, that's the thing about the Prodigy is they got a bit of a punk sort of side to their attitude
definitely.
And all that kind of stuff as well. So they're not really sort of lumped into a lot of those other sort of, you know, the dubstep and all that kind of stuff that's going on today. So,
definitely. No, it's definitely more straight ahead punk rock vibes to it. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Having said that, I also go to Stereosonic and I fucking love that. But that's a whole different sort of festival.
Okay. Anyway, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you and we're looking forward to seeing you at Soundwave, man. It's absolutely fantastic to see you finally hitting Soundwave for the first time. So thanks again, man.
No worries, man. Thank you very much. Have a great afternoon in Western Australia.
You too.
Okay. See you later. Bye-bye. Bye.